This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 12th of October, 2017. My name's Patrick Smith. Mixed weekend for the Belfast Giants. We talked last weekend about how things needed to pick up. They did pick up. We got a great result in Cardiff, and then maybe not such a great result in Coventry. We'll talk about that in a second, of course. Joining me, as always, Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Evening, Paddy.
And Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm all good, mate. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Simon.
Let's batter straight ahead, boys, and we're going to start as a bit unusually, but actually, I'll ask, let's say, Davey, we're going to do the Dobbs jingle. Hanson or Seth Bennett?
Oh, Seth.
Seth Bennett, okay, so here's the Seth Bennett jingle.
Dobbs. 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 Yeah, yeah, Dobbs. 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 Yeah, yeah.
Yep, we're starting with Dobbs because we want, before we go into the weekend's games, we want to revisit our chat about the suspension, or what ended up as a two-game suspension, to Jonathan Ferland. He was assessed a match penalty for his check to the head of Mike Hammond, and added another game to that suspension. Came as a bit of a shock, Davey.
Paddy.
Nothing comes as a shock with Dobbs.
Nothing particularly comes as a shock with Dobbs, let's be honest, but You try to take off your team specs, and we always say that we try to analyse, and I'm very analytical when it comes to these things. You try to analyse each thing, each incident on its own merits, and should it be a Belfast Giants player or should it be a Sheffield Steeler, Nottingham Panther, whoever, whenever they make these hits or these things come before Dobbs, and we'll look at the video, we'll try to give an honest answer. And I'm being genuinely honest here. That is, if that's a two-game suspension, there's going to be a lot of players missing this season, missing games. And you want to rule out, let's make one thing clear, you want to take the head shot out of the game. Mm-hmm. There's no place for it, but I don't believe that was one. And I think he's been harshly dealt with, but those two games are now in the history books, and he comes back this weekend. And it's kind of, you just have to kind of accept that these decisions are going to be made. The appeals process is so litigious that it's not worth going through, and it's making teams look at their opposition and go, is there anything that's happening in the game here that we can potentially get borderline shite, £250, we can the league is so tight top to bottom right at this minute. You know, I know it's ridiculous to say if the Edinburgh Capitals win all their games in hand to go top, or Fife win all their games in hand to go top, but that's kind of the facts, you know, because some teams have played eight, but, you know, it's like 988 games or something at the top, and the points are, you know, there's a cigarette paper between all the teams here. If you can weaken your opposition one night by throwing £250 at it, and you climb a couple of places in the league because of it, it's not about player safety, and I've banged on about Dobbs for a long time. It's not about player safety anymore. It's about weakening opposition.
Simon?
I'm sorry I'm going to have to bleep you there so early in the show, but it's absolutely bullshit. There was no way that was basically a two-game suspension. Absolutely not. You had, a couple of weeks ago, you had Crowder nearly took the head off a player, and he got three games. And all of a sudden, and Davey's already touched on it, it's absolutely wrong to target somebody in the head with a deliberate attempt to injure. Absolutely 100% wrong. But I do not believe, and Davey touched on it again last week with regards to, you know, physics. The way he was hit, you know, and basically Mike Hammond's, the way Mike Hammond's head fell, you know, if he had been hit properly, his head's jolting back, and it didn't. And, you know, he basically took a dive. If he's looking at himself, he probably wouldn't let the dressing room after the match and started laughing his balls off.
But here, just to cut across you, Cesar, did Dobbs issue anything more than just, like, did they put a video out this evening?
There was, I went to look for this, there was like a sort of a joint video between Ferland's incident and another incident. However, what I get about, and I respect the fact that they bring out the videos of the incidents and the fact that you've got, you know, a bit of a voiceover telling you what you have, but it doesn't tell you anything extra. It shows you the incident. We've seen the incident. It's not in the same ilk of like the NHL ones where you see, like, you get, you know, whatever it is now, but it used to be like Brendan Shanahan or whatever, basically breaking down the incident, showing you why it's a suspension, telling you, you know, you can see that he comes in from this angle, you can see that his elbow is up, you can see, with regards to the Department of Player Safety videos, and I'm not getting at Rob and all for the, and Dave Burnham and all stuff for this, it's just the way that they've been put together. But the videos for Dops for Us are basically a video of the incident and what he's been assessed. It doesn't break down or show you in the video why that's the reason.
There will have been 10 or 20 hits across the weekend's games that were worse. There's a worse hit from Haddad on Kurtz in the Belfast game on Saturday night, where he goes through straight elbows him, straight arms him from, you know, down by the boards. Kurtz is coming in on the forecheck and Haddad hits him in the head. But it's one of those things, you know, what did the Belfast Giants do? What are we going to do? Start citing every player that puts a, you know, a bad hit on us? It's part of the game. There's sometimes hits are part of the game. And that one for me, Hammond doesn't take an awful lot of contact and he sells one. What disappoints me is that more than sells it to the officials on the night, they then look at a video which is at very, very best inconclusive. It certainly doesn't show major head contact from Ferland to Hammond. That just isn't there on video. So unless they're looking at something else that hasn't been issued, which I don't believe they are, or they would have put that out with their video, that video to me looks like Ferland is almost past Hammond before Hammond's head almost hits Ferland on the numbers for me.
Yeah.
If anything contact is from Ferland in the hip area is on Hammond's right upper chest after his head has passed him. And his head, as I've said, as Simon has also said there, doesn't snap. His head goes backwards and his hands come up in like a football, kind of going for a penalty kind of thing. So, you know, disappointing for me. And as I say, that's what I teal specs on. I'm trying to analyse the situation as I see it.
Of course, that left us without Jonathan Ferland for the weekend game against Cardiff and Coventry, which I'll come to now. Well, actually, just while you're talking there, I know that a couple of seasons ago we did the big debate where it was, you know, Davey talk, vote Davey, you know, all around Dops and between Davey and coach. I'd like to try maybe in one of the future show we'll do something like that again. However,
Do you know how sad it is, Paddy?
You listened to it recently.
No, nothing has changed. You could just cut that and put it out now. But it's exactly the same debate.
The only thing about that debate, when I think back to it, was it was a little bit convoluted because I think both you and coach had the same opinion on Dops, but to make it what it was, somebody, and in fact it was debate, I think it was coach, had to take up the pro Dops sort of argument without, I don't believe him really thinking it was that. I don't think he really believed in his own argument. If there's somebody out there who is happy to come on and talk positively about the role that Dops provides to the Elite League, get in touch at AVFTB or podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. Come on and tell us exactly why you think that Dops in its current guise is a positive to the Elite League. I'd be very interested to hear that. And we'll put you up against Davey. Far ahead the weekend. Saturday night, the Belfast Giants took on the Cardiff Devils in Elite League and Conference battle, and they got a 5-3 victory. That was despite the fact that Cardiff were able to score within the first 40 seconds. Patrick Aslan firing a pass Jackson Whistle. They doubled their lead. Joey Martin scoring with 7:45 for Cole Jarrett on 16:01 on the power play, making it 2-1. At the start of the second period, Andrew Hotham restored that 2-goal lead for the Cardiff Devils before Matto and Blair Riley brought it to, what was that, 3-3? Yeah, Patrick's not counting. 3-3. In the third period, a power play goal, a lovely power play goal by Steve Saviano, where he sort of drags it back from behind the net, and a goal from Sebastian Silvestre rounded out the scoring at 5-3. Whistle in nets for the Giants, 31 saves and 34 shots. Bounds in nets for the Cardiff Devils, not a great night for him, 16 saves and 21 shots. Your referee was Dean Smith. I can hear Davey seething already. And regards to the other thing, Giants were missing Ferland from the suspension for 2 games, as we said. No Stephen Murphy, no Jim Vandermeer, and no Johnner either. Excuse me, no Justin Johnner either. Davey, I'll start with you. You were there in the night. Giants were behind in less than 1 minute, and that was a bit of a theme for the weekend.
Yeah, we got out, lost the opening face-off, never really got touching the puck again, and, you know, cried, really engaged there early, and Cardiff Devils go one up. There's not an awful lot. At that stage, you've just got to wipe the slate clean to say, you know, we've got to get back into this. And to be fair, the Giants, for me, all night long, 5-on-5, were very, very strong. You know, really, really impressive 5-on-5. And then, you know, we've taken, across the three periods, we've taken a 5-on-3 in each period. And we can discuss the rights and wrongs of the soft calls. And in my opinion, we'll probably come back to the refereeing. But, you know, we've conceded on that and gone 2-0 down. We've got ourselves back into the game, and ultimately they've came back again with another 5-on-3 penalty. And we've a mountain to climb. You're 3-1 down in Ice Arena Wales, packed house, over 3,000 in there, which, you know, it was noisy. But the Belfast Giants didn't go away. They bent and they bent, but they did not break, and they came roaring back. And see, once we started, you know, hard on the forecheck, we were hitting everything that moved. We were getting shots on bounds, we were getting traffic in front of bounds. And once the waters broke there, once the dam broke, we just started putting pucks on them and past them. And, you know, the Giants were going into that slot. They were getting into the dirty areas. And as you say, even Saviano's a little bit of craft there to, you know, put that puck back. Great shot from Sheds. Sheds is two assists there from standing on an identical post. He'd stamp on the ice. He's two shots, one straight to Toey's stick. Okay, it comes off a skate. But on the other one, Saviano picks off, and lovely little thing behind. And even, I think, Sebastian Sylvester. Sylvester's goal, the fifth goal for the Giants, you know, that's gone right through bounces wickets from, you know, the blue line. He'll be disappointed in that. But, you know, when we got 4-3 up, that's when the Cardiff Devils started playing really Cardiff Devils hockey. You know, batch offers, curtsy out, you have Farina going in and trying to start something. Brendan Connolly, to be fair to him, is the first one in there to, you know, to say you're not going to do that to my teammate. Farina comes in with a bit of a late forecheck that starts it all off. And obviously, Blair Riley's got thrown out of the game for... We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, 5-on-5, very, very impressive performance from the Giants. Okay, penalty kill, it looks like we've let two power play goals in, but, or two penalty kill goals in, but both 5-on-3s. And I thought over the course of the evening, we were pretty hot on our, you know, spoke to Matt Toe, the interviews on SoundCloud after the game, and spoke to another couple of guys off tape on Saturday night. And we are really buzzing with how hard we performed on all three disciplines, even strength, power play, and penalty kill. You know, it was a good performance. It's one of those blueprint nights. You know, go back to that, but it took its toll. I know people won't want to say, and we'll go on to Sunday, people won't want to say within the team that Saturday night took too much out of us, but effectively it did. We were playing short bench and some injured bodies, and, you know, the guys, and we came out that slow starting Sunday. We just left ourselves too big a hill to climb.
Simon, a heavy, heavy forecheck from the Belfast Giants. As Davey said, we came out, we weren't giving the D-men any sort of time to play the puck, and that took its toll on the Devils, and there were a lot of turnovers. It was a great piece of tactical work from Adam Keefe.
It was, Paddy. And you've got, I mean, I've said this before on the podcast, as a defenseman, you do not like to hear, you know, somebody basically digging in to come in behind you into the corner to pick a puck up. And it doesn't make a difference who you are, what defenseman did, playing at the NHL or the EIHL, you do not want somebody coming in behind you and just, you know, with the thought, the prospect of taking you completely out by the roots. But we were absolutely outstanding with regards to the forecheck and the back check as well. You know, when we defended as a unit with regards to the forwards, we talked about this last week and the week before in the podcast. And, you know, it's very, very important that the wingers and the centermen are doing their jobs, and everybody bought in. That was the big, big part of it on Saturday night against Cardiff. Everybody bought into it. We got good goaltending. We got good defence work with regards to keeping the shots to the outside. I think Jackson maybe would have wanted one of the shots, one of the goals back. But apart from that, I thought he was outstanding. Some really, really big saves in the third period. But when we're down on numbers, I mean, at one stage with Kurtz and Connolly both in the box, Riley was thrown out. Mace was playing up front. You know, he got a shift up front. Garside was playing up front. The power play unit was Martinelli, Spiro Galakos, Toey, Sylvester, and Benny. That was our power. That was our second power play unit in one of the power plays in the third period. And that, you know, with the greatest respect, and Toey, you know, we'll probably talk about it later on the show, about, you know, he's not used to getting power play minutes. But every single player on Saturday night absolutely bought into it, and they were drained after the match. I mean, Davey was there, and he was talking to the guys. Obviously, the adrenaline was still going through them. But when they went back to the hotel, or getting the bus ride back to the hotel itself, They would have been absolutely busted.
David, you know, but one of the things Ars is saying about Toey being on the power play, and Toey scored in the power play, it's recognition of he knows what Colin Shields is going to do as soon as the puck comes to him. Puck comes to Sheds on the point, Toey is crashing the blue paint. Stick on the ice, okay, it misses a stick, hits his skates, but his skates are there, part of the game, gets a goal. He's just playing together for so long, he just knows what he's going to do, and he just went in there, he says, I'm getting an opportunity in the power play, I'm going to try and score, I want more of this. And credit to him, you know, for me, you can't text in that concrete bunker in there, but like said the says on the phone on the way back, Toey had man of the match, nailed down, before the start of the third play.
I agree with that.
He was exceptional. Brilliant. On Saturday night. He really was. He was exceptional.
The sticking with the special teams, Davey, you know, the Jets were 500 on that with three goals from six. Cardiff Devils, two goals from seven. But of course, these special teams stemmed from the fact that there were a lot of, I think I'm not going out of the way here because I know that from the other side, like so John Donovan on the commentary from Ice Time TV agreed, a lot of soft calls coming in from Dean Smith.
Our problem with, if you want to call it soft calls or zero tolerance, whatever you want to call it, do you want a different call when players are on the penalty kill, or do you want the referee to call exactly the same? Because like the first one he has called in the first period, it's Blair Riley, I think, has been called for a hook. And to be honest, pretty soft hook, but your stick comes up parallel to the ice. You want, if it's against you, you want a call. Brandon or Blair Riley sitting in the box. Saviano gets called for tripping, and it's as soft, it's just the softest penalty, one of the softest penalties on the night. And do you want to give a team so many goal scoring opportunities? And yes, they went in the 5-on-3, and to be honest, we made a little bit of a mistake. It's goals offside. If it's not offside, it is the greatest call that Lionel will ever make. Whoever it is from the Cardiff Devils is coming out of the zone at 100 mile an hour. The puck is coming back in. They cross in a microsecond. I believe it's offside.
Yes, but
I genuinely do.
And you sent me the screenshot. You sent me the video. But it's so tight, mate. It's so tight.
Yeah, but I've sent you the screenshot when the puck is already 6 inches in. So take that puck 6 inches back and take his skate 2 or 3 inches back. I don't think he makes a line. But that's irrelevant. You still have to defend it. The other one's the same. You know, it goes on in the second period. I think it's a. Is it a trip and a boarding call or something? You know, Spiro got, and it's a nudge in the back, and I think that Cardiff Devil has sold the penalty a wee bit. Dean Smith called him all night long. I thought he was, we don't like to blast referees too much on here. We always say they're part of the furniture. Without them, there is no game. But you also have to be able to critique them enough to say he had a poor game on the night. Even the incident where there was the bit of a melee with the fight where I showed on Twitter there, Blair Riley was the seventh man to get involved in that altercation.
He gets
thrown out for third man in. Now, there was a stoppage. I don't know if you were watching it on Ice Time TV, Sam, but the stoppage while they tried to work out the penalties must have been easy 5 or 6 minutes.
It was very long.
Really long stoppage. And, I think it was Sheds for us was over as the alternate captain, because Blair Riley was obviously involved in the altercation. I can't remember who it was from the Cardiff Devils. But they kept asking, and Smith was going to the penalty box. He was writing his little notepad
Notebook out and going through. He was writing in that notebook as everything was going ahead. If you see the incident, his hand is always written.
You've seen the still that I put on Twitter where Dean Smith is in a good position.
Yes.
One line was in the middle of the melee trying to pull bodies apart, and one is just skating into it. They all have a good view of what happened. To take 5 or 6 minutes and get that wrong, to me, this is the top level of this sport in the country. We play in the top league. These are the best referees. I'm sorry, you have to be better on those occasions. We had to play the last 13 minutes of that game without our captain. Let's not back away from things either. Sebastian Sylvester, right hands Andrew Lord.
He does.
In front of Dean Smith.
He sure doesn't
went. Doesn't get anything.
Yep.
Andrew Lord, I think, ends up with a penalty for roughing on that.
He does,
play.
Yep.
Crazy. You know, so you've got to take it both ways. And in that instant, he just gets a whole lot of things wrong. And hopefully, he'll watch that tape back and go, ugh. And, you know, I think Kiefer said it in his post-match interview as well. You know, I think when he looks back at those, he'll think, maybe I could have done a bit better there.
Interesting, again, going back to the commentary from the Icetime TV guys and like of Alan and John Donovan, there was a point in the game, I think, that John tries to send a message to Steve Thornton to support Todd Kelman and get a four-man system because he felt that, you know, and in fairness to him, he was saying that maybe the Giants weren't getting the rub of the green with regards to penalties being called. Sizz, your take on Dean Smith and how he affected this game?
I thought it an absolute mirror. You know, Giants, against them, they had 3 5-on-3s. One in the first period, one in the second period. Full 2 minutes in the third period. I thought he lost control of the game early on. You know, we've had, again, Divi talks about it every single week. And with regards to, you know, they're part of the furniture. Well, do you know what? If he was part of the furniture, he must have been a bin bag or something that he needed to throw on. He's absolutely brutal on Saturday night. And that this is coming from somebody who supports the team who actually won. I'm not having to go at him because we lost. I'm not having to go at him as basically, you know, as a sad loser. Absolutely not. He was terrible on Saturday night.
I spoke to people within the Cardiff Devils organization, whatever you'd like to call them, after the game on Saturday night, and they're like, how did you win that game with that referee? He just had it, you know, how did we not win with the amount of opportunities we had? And you're pulling me up there about saying they're part of furniture. Another thing we always ask for is consistency. And when Cole Jarrett throws that bomb in, our first goal, somebody from the Cardiff Devils, can't remember who it is, does exactly the same as Spiro Galakos does in the third period.
Get more set.
No, smashes the puck, the stick on the ice. Galakos gets his 2 minutes abusive official for banging a stick on the ice in a sort of, not even an aggressive way, but a descent. If you want to call it descent in a football way, it's abusive official, unsportsmanlike, whatever you want. Galakos gets 2 minutes for it. Morissette gets it. Go on. Off you go.
Yep. And that, the thing about it is that led to a 5-on-3. A fool. 2 minute 5-on-3 when Galakos got that penalty. And again, it's just because, you know, I'm Dean Smith, I do what I want. But another thing I wanted to talk about, guys, was the three officials that officiated that game on Saturday night were all from Cardiff. All three of them.
Dean Smith, Matt Rose, James Irons.
All wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Trying to basically cut back on costs, and we'll give the three boys the game that night. Now, yes, Rosie does the majority of games. Irons does the majority of games in Cardiff. But to have three, I don't want to use the word homers, but I do want to use the word homers, because that's exactly what they are. I mean, Matt Rose has played for the Raiders before. He gets involved in all the stuff that's down. He's a good lad, but those three guys refereeing that game in Cardiff, when the penalties that were called that night, it's the elite league, and we talk about this again too often, far too much, and especially this early in the season, they really do need to take control of this because it's getting beyond a bloody joke.
Let's move on, gents. Highlights from Icetime TV of that game available on the Cardiff Devils website and on YouTube. Sunday, Coventry Blaze Elite League competition. Oh dear, a 6-1 defeat for the Belfast Giants. And it started pretty badly again within the Giants only conceded one goal in 40 seconds against the Cardiff Devils. However, in 40 seconds, they conceded two goals to the Coventry Blaze, both from Mark Oliver Valeran. Brendan Connolly was able to hit back before that first period was out, but that was the Giants' only goal of the game. In the second period, Jordan Pietras scored. And in the third period, Ross Venus, Garrett Ladd and Galen Patterson all scored. The Blaze also had a goal waved off following goal line technology. In nets, Jackson Whistlebag again, back-to-back games, I think for the first time in his Giants career. 27 saves, 33 shots. Nastyuk, 29 saves, 30 shots. Your referee was Mike Hicks. Jarrett still out suspended and the same injuries apply. Says two goals in the first minute.
Yeah, Paddy, and I missed both of them. The webcast before the game, and I still haven't seen them. I didn't look at the highlights when they came out. You know, the webcast went down literally just as the anthems come on, and it didn't come on. And I didn't even see it coming through on Twitter because I wasn't even paying that much attention to it. I was just trying to get I thought it was my internet that went down, but obviously it wasn't. And I still haven't seen those goals. But given the team, like, you know, Coventry 2-0 up after 38 seconds, it was really disappointing to hear the first thing that Ed and Stuart said. You know, I can't believe this is the Cardiff Dragons, the Coventry Blazers are 2-0 up. It was unbelievable. But you know, we sort of worked our way back into the game in that first period, and then Connolly's shot for his first goal was absolutely outstanding. You know, he literally like handcuffed the goalie, and it was a real bullet of a shot. And you're sitting thinking, right, okay, you scored a couple of minutes ago in the first period, you've got a chance to get back into this. But I think it was quite evident. You know, we've got a 4-minute penalty in the start of the second period, and when that power play units that were out there and they didn't really get anything going at all, you just knew it wasn't going to be your night, and they scored again and to make it 3-1 at the end of the second period. And you've got to come out in the third with a bit of, you know, you've got to take a few risks and get guys jumping up into the play to try and get that next goal. You know, the next goal makes it 3-2 or it makes it 4-1. And unfortunately for the Giants, they give up far too many odd man rushes in the third period, and Coventry run out well-deserved winners on the night. But it was disappointing after such a big, big game and a big, big performance on the Saturday night to come out for, you know, the game of the next night. And yes, you know, you knew that the boys had emptied the tank against the Devils, but it was still really disappointing. And, you know, nobody will be hurting more than Adam Keith and the players in that game on Sunday night after the defeat at the Coventry.
Davey, you were there. I will admit a bit of humble pie here last week when I talked about the Sheffield Steelers taking a pasting against the Blaze in the Sky Dome. I did have a bit of a feel of amusement in my voice, but the Giants went in there, have taken similar pasting. Why?
Simon sort of reviewed the game already there, Paddy. Yeah. It's a strange one. Those two first goals in the first sort of 40 seconds obviously took a lot of steam out of us, you know, and you're obviously really up against it. Not a bad team, but the Giants fought their way back into the game, and they stuck with the process of, we didn't maybe hit as much as we did, and fatigue certainly set in the third period. That 4-minute power play at the start of, well, not quite at the start, but certainly, how far is it? 3 minutes? Where are we here? Just the start of the second period. You know, that was our opportunity to try and get something, and we just didn't really get anything going. The power play, they cleared it up the ice a lot, and they iced the puck, and we had to come back with it. And one of those things, we couldn't get it going, and then they pop up, and a few minutes later make it 3-1. And really, at that stage, the game's halfway, about half an hour gone, the ice is tilted. We couldn't just get back in. We couldn't get anything going. There was a few guys to me looked like Saturday night had taken quite a lot out of them. There was a few guys that looked like they maybe we're halfway on the bus on the way home as well, and not a great night for us. You know, I we're giving up shorthanded goals with 5 minutes to go in the game when we're 5-1 down. That's not pretty either. You know, as a fan being there, or just even for the coach standing on the bench watching that, I'll be wondering why we're pushing with 5 minutes to go. I know that, you know, it only takes a second to score a goal, but we didn't look like a team that were going to score 4 goals in 5 minutes to, you know, tie things up. So you want to keep going as much as you can, but there's also, you know, clock management and game management, body management. You know, the guys were having to try and short shift to get out there and keep us fresh as a kid. I just think it's funny. I talked to Simon on, I can't remember if it was Saturday night or Sunday night, or maybe both, on the way home from the games. You know, was said about, if you'd have offered us 2 points from that weekend, that would be your positive, you know, that we came away with the 2 points. But with the greatest respect, when you've taken 2 points in Ice Arena Wales, you want to be greedy and you want to go and get the 4 points. So I'm not too disappointed overall that we ended up with 2 points out of four in the weekend, but I kind of, the manner of the defeat on Sunday night can be explained to a certain extent by fatigue and how it went on Saturday night, but I'm sure would have certainly liked the scoreline to be a bit closer.
I think I'm not going to spend too much time in this game because of those reasons. But what I will say, though, is to give says a bit of credit to the Coventry Blaze for the way that they're playing. And also the fact that when you look at the Giants and how they've played thus far this season, that's 3 away games against Patton Conference opposition and 3 defeats.
Yeah, I was impressed with Coventry, you know, in certain parts of their play. You know, that guy Falloran's a really good player. We all know that Jordan Pietras brings to the table, but defensively they were sort of all over the place. But going forward, every time they went forward, they looked as if they could cause you damage. So, you know, Ryan Dingle, he's a great player for Fife over the last couple of years. He made a brilliant move. I can't remember who it was, finished it. You know, there was an old man rush, and he just...
Lad.
I can't remember who it was, but...
Patterson.
He outbeat Jackson Whistle and just, you know, let it right into the path of the guy, and he slotted into an empty net. But, you know, Jackson shouldn't be put in that position with, you know, I think it was a 3-on-1 at that stage. And you're, as I say, you sort of know the game's over, and when it's 4-1 down with, you know, probably 10 or 12 minutes to go in this year, with the energy zapped out from the night before, you knew it was always going to be tough. But one of the things we haven't touched on here, Paddy, is, you know, we've just ripped Dean Smith a new one, and Mike Hicks is usually good value for ripping a new one. I thought he had a good Sunday night.
Another Welshman.
He let the guys play. He didn't make the stupid calls when, and there was quite a few calls that you would have thought that if Dean Smith had been there, it would have been north 60 or 70 minutes of penalties. But, you know, I thought Mike Hicks and the two linesmen on Sunday night did a great job.
I have to agree. Davey, you come about the point of the Patton Conference. So away to MK, defeat. Away to Manchester, defeat. Away to Coventry, defeat. And you've got Manchester riding high. This split up of the conference system, the Patton Conference are doing pretty well.
Look, I think it was the Milton Keynes weekend that we discussed and said, you know, there's no mugs. Top to bottom in the league, there's no mugs. Let's see who's Patton Conference. Storm top, Keynes second. Blazing Flames, and they've only played one or two conference games each, where yeah. Manchester Storm played six games in the conference already. There's no mugs in this. Like, we sit top of our conference, so we're not having a bad start to the season either, you know, but it's just the league is so tight. Like I said earlier in the show about, you know, top to bottom, there's only one or two points separate first from or second from last, you know, so it's going to be a tighter league than ever this season. So these cross-conference games, especially away from home, are crucial. And we're a decent team. You know, we've gone to the Devils on Saturday night and showed ourselves. And we've gone to the Steelers and we've gone to the Panthers and lost narrowly 5-4 in the NIC. So we've been to the House of Ten, we've been to the Panthers and we've been to the Devils and won 2 out of 3. We've proved ourselves against the big arena teams. And with the greatest of respects to the Milton Keynes and the Blazers, these are the teams that you would expect to end the season lower down the table than you know, in an ideal world. You've got to go to these places and put on a better show. And short-bodied, you know, injuries, suspensions, a lot of energy taken out on Saturday night are all mitigating factors. But, you know, the guys themselves will not be wanting to make that an excuse. And that'll have been a difficult bus journey home for those guys on Sunday night.
The highlights from the game, Blaze TV on the Coventry Blaze website. Giants are short on bodies. And in order to combat this, they have attained the services of Matt Bissonnette. Simon, your thoughts on Matt Bissonnette coming in from the Manchester Storm?
I thought he impressed me last year when I called the games for Giants TV. He's a big boy, skates well. He spent a lot of the time on the penalty kill last year for the Storm. And I think it's a really good addition to the lineup. And, you know, with regards to, you know, it's not a secret that we're short on bodies. You know, you've got Jimbo still out. You've got Johnner still out. Bringing him in this time, hopefully give everybody around the room a wee bit of a lift and going, right, okay, well, I don't have to play, you know, 19 minutes in this game. I could probably get back down to 16, 17 and give that a little bit more. And you know, it does take a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, you have to manage your body well and obviously prepare for the games. And with all those games coming in such a short space of time, you know, Jeff Mason chatted with him today, and he was telling about, you know, when he came into the lineup, he played 3 games in 5 days, and he was telling me after we stopped recording, he was absolutely busted. And that certainly adds up. So bringing another body in, and looking forward to the weekend against Fife and Nottingham, I think it's the right time to do it.
Davey, you know, I have to say, I was really surprised when we've attended. You know, didn't seem to be getting the ice time under the new regime at the Storm for a guy who was regularly finding the net. It seemed like he wasn't getting a fair crack of the whip.
Well, I think our good friend, formerly of this Parish TV's Neil, the coach Russell, you know, was a big fan of Bissonnette, certainly last season through his time with the Storm. You know, had him earmarked as certainly one of his MVPs for the season. And, you know, we need centre men at the minute. With Sebastian Sylvester struggling a wee bit in the face-off circle. Colin Shields is centre in that second line. Ideally, he'd like to be, you know, on the wing and not taking draws. So, you know, he's a welcome addition to the team. big lad, as Sam said, I think he's what, 6'3", 6'4", something like that. You know, big, big unit, and maybe a bit more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, but you know, you can always do with a bit of finesse in your team and hope that he's finding the stick of his line mates to start banging the goals back in, because you know, it's easy to blame defeats on defence, but it obviously comes easier when you're scoring goals. You know, you concede less, and we just need to be playing a bit, and a big body will help. We need to be more physical. The games that we have been physical, we win. You know, we've been doing stats with Stevie Thompson. The Rain Man, Stevie Thompson, is coming up with some unbelievable statistics about, you know, and Poppy as well, about hits versus goal difference. When this team is physical, we score more goals and we concede less goals. So that's for me, is one of the keys, is that blue-collar game that the Belfast Giants are famous for. You know, that's our identity. It always has been, you know, playing that rough North American style of hockey. We have to get there. We have to be up on our hit count. We have to be up on our block shots. And when we play that way, we are a handful, as we have proven, for the very, very best rosters in this league.
Absolutely. Well, we've just talked about him. Let's hear from him. Earlier on, I got the chat with the new Belfast Giants. Number 73, Matt Bissonnette. Matt Bissonnette, welcome to the Belfast Giants.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be a part of Belfast.
So I'm going to be blunt. How does a point per game player, or you were a point per game player through last season, maybe start of this season, how do you become available at this point of the season for the Belfast Giants to pick you up?
You know what, I consider myself lucky. I was in a bit of a weird situation in Manchester. I came into the season a little injured. I worked through that, and now I got back to 100% finally. And you know what? I was just the odd man out, and I was kind of shocked when I did have a meeting with Finner. But my hat's off to him. He was professional about it. He just said, listen, we're going to help you wherever you want to go. Get on the phone and talk to a few teams, which I did. And you know what? I was kind of in shock when I got a call from Steve. So you know what? When Belfast comes calling, you don't say no.
Is it just a case then that things didn't click with you, Finner, the sort of the Manchester Storm setup this season?
Yeah, it just wasn't clicking. I was jumping on each line. You know, you didn't really get a chance to build any chemistry with guys, so it was tough. But you know what? That chapter is done, and now I get to start a new one.
Exactly. Well, you're part of the Belfast Giants now, and you know, what are you expecting from your move into Belfast?
You know what? I just want to win. I think coming to Belfast, I'm giving myself a chance to do it, and hopefully I get to help the team win. I know that they have a great team right now. A couple guys hurt. I have high expectations for the city and the fans. I talked to Neil on and off, for Neil Russell, for 3 or 4 days now, and he's just been selling the city to me so much, and the organization and the fans and all this stuff. So I can't wait to get there, honestly. And Saturday night, I can't wait to get the barn rocking over there.
Give us a bit of an insight into your game, you know, into your career. You were QMJHL, you were a bit of time in Chamonix. Give the Giants fans a bit of a flavour as to what your career's been like thus far.
Well, coming out of the Q, I had a couple good years. At 20 years old, I had a couple concussions that year, which kind of set me back. And then going into my 21-year-old year, I went to go pro over in the States, and I kind of got jerked around a little bit, and I got cut from the ECHL. And from there, I ended up going to school, which was something I never planned on doing. I wasn't really a big school guy. And then, you know what, the opportunity came where I had a scholarship to go to school. And you know what, I gave it a fair chance. And I did my classes, finished the year, and then I decided, you know what, I'll go play over in France, anywhere in Europe. I actually looked all over, and I had a buddy playing in France, and he said, listen, I'll talk to my coach for you. And it worked out. I went over there. I had a great time. Loved the hockey, loved the city that I was in. I stayed there 2 years. And then after that, it was kind of time for a change. And I consider myself lucky for having Neil and Omar Pasha give me a chance last year. And you know what? I came back again this year, and I love this league. I think it's underrated league for sure. And you're seeing that this year with the CHL, with Nottingham and Cardiff doing so well. So hopefully we could build Belfast up a little bit, and hopefully it'll be us next year in the CHL.
What's the French league like? Reduced sort of games? Is it faster? Is it tougher?
Yeah, they lengthened it out a little bit. since I've been gone. I think they went up to about 40-something games. They stopped playing, like, tournament games. So the league over there was just a lot younger, a little quicker. And I'd say the biggest difference is just the skill level. Skill level here is, like, every guy is good enough to be on a PP or a top line almost on every big team. So it's tough to say the biggest difference, but I think it's that. It's just the smarts and the vision that everyone has here. You know, guys are older in this league, and they're here for a reason. They can still play, and they see the game, and I think that's the difference.
Chamonix is a big skiing town that I know well. Are you far too professional to get up there, or do the guys get up and do a bit of skiing through the season?
You're allowed. If you're a seasoned veteran, I guess, at skiing, you're allowed to go up. I didn't go during the season. I tried after the season, and I'll say I went once, and I don't think I'll be going back. It was a pretty scary experience.
Great stuff. Are you straight into the lineup? Obviously, the Fife Flyers and the Nottingham Panthers this weekend. Will we be seeing Matt Bissett at number 73 straight into the lineup?
Yes, for sure. I'm coming in Saturday morning, and I'll be ready for Saturday night and Sunday in Nottingham. Hoping for two wins, and you know, to start off my new chapter in Belfast on the right foot.
It's time to announce the winner of September's Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonacab. We give you the four nominees, and almost 600 of you cast your vote to award the first Player of the Month of the season. So the result in order of vote share was, well, sharing both 16% of the vote each, Ryan Martinelli and Colin Shields. Jackson Whistle got 18% of the vote. But with a whopping 50% of the vote, the Player of the Month for September is Sebastian Silvestre. Congratulations to Sebastian, who follows his fellow number 10, Blake Makake, as the latest recipient of the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month award. He'll receive the trophy at Saturday's game against the Fife Flyers, and we'd like to thank everyone who cast their vote in September's poll, and a big thanks to Phonacab for sponsoring the award. Right, we've already had the Dops jingle, so let's batter ahead with the Around the League, of course, starting with Dops. None involving the Giants this time. Makes a change. But two that have been cited, well, one's automatic and one's cited. Sergei Banishkov for the Edinburgh Capitals had a 2+10 for checking from behind against the Dundee Stars on Sunday. And Mike Embach of the Brayhead Clan, well, that's been requested by the Sheffield Steelers. I've not seen either of these incidents of you boys.
I've seen the Banishkov one, but my view doesn't actually matter because Dobbs will do whatever they want to do anyway. But for me, it's not a suspension.
Dave, have you seen any of them?
Same as says, I got the Caps one. Banasco is the only one I've seen. And for me, a bit like a few of the 2+10 for checking from behind. Call on the night is probably the right one, but even that borderline, I don't think it's suspension. Right. But so you'll probably get 6.
There's been some new personnel, not just the Matt Bissonnette who we spoke with earlier, but the other new personnel around the league. Nottingham Panthers have brought in Patrick Galbraith, who's a Danish international goalkeeper. The Sheffield Steelers have brought in Andreas Jamtin, a Swedish winger who with a bit of KHL, SHL and Finnish Liga experience. Brayhead Clan, Ville Hamalainen. Oh, big Vida, Hamalainen. Anyway, Finnish forward, who's joining from DEL2, and also lots of time in the Finnish leagues. The Clanchester Storm, well, they had to sign another ex-Clan player, didn't they? Scott Pitt, the record point scorer for the Brayhead Clan, has joined Ran Finnerty's side in Altrincham. While in Guildford, they had to bring in yet another goalkeeper because Brian Stewart is injured. Chris Carosi is joining in from Denmark. Finally, Jim Jorgensen, ex-Blaze, ex-Clan, ex-Steeler D-man, is joining Fife. We'll hear from Todd Dudium later on about that. Davey, I'll start with you. Any of those new signings stand out?
There's some qualities came in there, and obviously there's a few known quantities to us as well. Obviously the Panthers are spending big in terms of goaltending. You know, they've got Garnett in there, obviously, on a huge wedge of Dosh and then bring this guy in as well, so that, you know, they're well stacked in terms of goaltending, and championship teams are often well built from the back, and Steelers identified that they needed to strengthen and have done so, brought in a guy who's, you know, a lot of experience in European leagues, if you said there, Paddy. And, you know, everybody seems to be, there's been a bit of patience, and there's maybe a bit of patience has ran out with a few players as well. And obviously Steelers have built, Panthers have had to be patient, obviously, because of the situation with the other goalie not being able to get a visa. So, you know, and then you have the likes of Jorgensen, who's been there, done it in all around the league, and he's getting another tracksuit to add to the collection.
Says, you know, look as well at the Clanchester Storm, bringing in Scott Pitt. Pitt is a known quantity in this league.
Yeah, he's a really good player, Paddy. And you know, we've already seen Manchester, when obviously you can get down the Drizzle Dome whenever you need to and then whenever you fancy it. But Scott Pitt's real quality. He'll be a really good addition to the Storm lineup. But this guy, I was watching a wee bit of the Sheffield game on Sunday night when I was watching the Giants game as well. And the Steelers, this guy, Yamton, he looks as if he's going to be a really good third-line player, maybe a fourth-line player. But, you know, Davey's just touched on it there about this, the Panthers spending big. The Steelers are certainly going out at it as well. And you know, it's only the start of October, so there could be more changes being made as the season goes on.
That's a really good point. So, Davey, it is quite early in the season for these players, but I guess there's a lot of players come available through, well, I was going to say through the NHL and AHL, but these guys are coming from Europe. What do you think the reason is behind that?
I don't know what the sort of roster setup around Europe is. You know, obviously this week the ECHL have to finalise their rosters come Friday, so there'll be the drip down from the AHL into the coast, and obviously then they're, I would say, come this weekend. You know, I think we've been talking to people during the week, obviously, and they're saying that the market's quite dry out there. But I would say this time next week, you might have, you know, a whole pile of players looking for jobs. And you know, I don't know why. I'm not sure over the last number of years why the EIHL has recruited so heavily. That's a good question. It's maybe one for Steve Thornton over the next while. You know, we've recruited heavily, and I don't know whether it's due to these players being more used to playing on the 200 foot ice pad, but you know, we've recruited heavily from Europe over the last number of years, and it'd be hard to disagree that some of the signings have been outstanding. The likes of Elfie and all that have came in from Germany, you know, there's been some real brilliant signings there. So it's a pool of talent that these guys are over here now, and they want to stay in Europe. They want to stay in English speaking countries, and you know, I think that's a big factor in it as well. But you know, why we're going to the DEL too, and why we're going to the NLA and stuff for to get our players. I don't know, Paddy. That's a fair question.
Finance?
Could be. I don't know what they're you know, a player from DEL2 is any cheaper than somebody who's coming from the coast, especially with the exchange rate for the pound to the dollar at the minute. Bloody Brexit.
Simon?
Yeah, again, it's a matter of, for me, it could be, you know, the likes of flights coming in from Czech Republic or from Germany or whatever it may be, it's probably a lot cheaper than what you get it from North America as well. And again, it's, you know, a lot of teams are looking at single guys who are, you know, who don't have the family with them, which obviously then incurs they can jack up with another teammate, and the cost comes into it as well, I would say. So it's, I mean, Davey's already touched on it. There's some, we've had been very lucky. I mean, Derek Walzer was playing in Europe beforehand, yeah. And you know, Jim Van Meer had a fleeting visit to
Switzerland, wasn't it?
You know, so like again, you just want to basically have the best pick of the lot of them, and you know, there's just the quality this year that's been added to the elite league. It's probably the best since going back to the ISL days.
Notable results around the league: MK and Storm had a home and home battle. Both teams taking the spoils in their own rink, with Storm recovering from a 3-2 defeat in MK to pace the Lightning 6-0 in the Drizzle Dome. It was a bad weekend, however, for the Brayhead clan. Their homecoming game against the heated rivals Fife saw the Flyers subject Trip's side to a 7-1 thrashing in front of a sold-out shopping centre. Trip went on in his post-game to single out individual players who he thought were responsible, and appeared somewhat happy the next night, despite his team losing 3-2 in the cup to the Steelers. That was Paul Thompson's second 3-2 cup victory of the weekend, having marched out of the NIC with the points the night before. Speaking of tough weekends, Omar Pasha had one. The Caps took a back-to-back win over the Stars. 2-1 in Murrayfield in the cup, and 7-2 in Dundee in the league and conference. But those two wins for the Capitals, most notably the Cup one, makes the Giants' task in Group B of the Challenge Cup a little easier than they were last week. The Giants only now need 1 point from the available four against the Flyers in order to qualify for the quarterfinals. And in the CHL, Devils are out, Panthers progress. Thoughts on the Challenge Cup, Davey?
Well, we did say I'm feeling a little more smug about it now because of the, you know, I would like to think we can take 1 point out of four against Fife at the weekend. Or certainly the Fife and Saturday first. There's the curse out there. You know, this setup. It's one of those, Paddy. We've got to just go and do the business in the SSE on Saturday night. Take the 2 points. You know, rubber stamp ourselves in the next round, guarantee second place that way, and just take care of our own business in our own rink. And you know, it hasn't worked out brilliantly for us. You know, we've won two, lost one. I think what a shootout loss in the other one. So yeah. You know, five points from possible eight isn't a bad return. You know, Dundee have only one more point than us, have played two more games, and the Caps are dead. So you know, hopefully out of those two games, I'll not scud us if I can, but hopefully out of those two games we can do enough to overtake the Dundee Stars.
Like I say, we're going to be talking, says the Todd Dudium, in just a second. One of the things I point out to him early is the fact in the last seven games, the Fife Flyers have scored 34 goals. So the Giants, they're coming up against what is a potent offense.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy, we went last year to Fife, was it three times? And we didn't win once. It's a tough, tough place to go to. You know, Davey's 100% right. This weekend, you want to put the Challenge Cup issue to bed. You know, go for the. I mean, obviously, you don't want to go for a draw in your own building. You go for the win this weekend against the Fife Flyers on Saturday, and then basically, you know, not so much take it easy in the last game. You've with the three groups this year, you're not obviously guaranteed to see exactly who you're going to get. I'm not sure which way it'll work out with the two. Third place teams coming in and which one who qualifies for what, but it's you certainly want to, you know, try and get the weakest team as to a certain extent of what there is available, and if you finish group you've got a better chance of doing that, I'm assuming, but we'll wait and see what happens. But again, this weekend, Saturday, you want to get off to a good start and beat the Fife Flyers.
Before we move on from this, I just want to quick ask you, Davey, about Tripp's approach of calling out individual players after their 7-1 thrashing against Fife. It seemed to have an effect. They still lost against Sheffield. It was a 3-2. But I was quite shocked at how many individuals, how many players he'd said, you know, weren't doing what he expected them to do. I can't remember who it was he accused of, but he says, you know, he's a walking turnover. You know, it seemed... I was quite shocked.
You have different, I suppose, you have different coaches over the years have different ways of, some like to protect their players. And I suppose some coaches know which players will react. You know, some players like to need an arm around the shoulder, some players need a kick in the backside. And it's as long as you're a coach and you can understand the man behind the mask, if you like, and know that if you're going to call him out in public, you're probably going to get a good reaction rather than a bad reaction. You know, there's probably people that call out in public, I'll go into their shell and become even worse, and then you're looking at having to gas them potentially. But you know, he seems they've got a bit of a reaction from him at least, so it's hard to know. He's came out the following night and he's a bit more upbeat on the performance at least. So you know, it's something that's happened very seldom in Belfast Giants history. I know that over a number of years, Courtney liked to call everybody out, but apart from Ed, you know, apart from the Eagle, you know, the coaches like to try and place a bit of a protective arm around their players and do their shouting in private. You know, I'm sure there's times over the last couple of weeks Adam Keefe has had to, you know, rally the troops behind closed doors. You know, that's one thing about the Belfast Giants. I remember listening to a podcast a long, long time ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when Coach was doing it, and Sheffield were going through a particular time where every week there was something to do with Sheffield. It was in the Star, was on the websites, was on, you know, Belfast. All we like to keep our kind, so we like to keep our problems and our good things and bad, we like to keep them in-house if we can and deal with them privately. And, you know, it's not for me to say Tripp done the right thing, did the wrong thing, but what he did is what he did, and he tried to get a reaction out of players one way, and it seemed to work to a certain extent.
Simon, go on.
Sorry, I think it's a really good point, David, you know, about keeping your counsel in-house. And that's hockey, you know, throughout the world has got a really good record. You know, the whole point of it is these guys – You know, they all come out saying it's a great, great group of guys. It's, you know, it's a brilliant dressing room, blah, blah, blah. There's always problems. Doesn't make a difference what sport you're in. There's always guys that don't particularly like that guy. There's always, you know, maybe little issues, and you have a, I mean, I've seen, well, I've kind of been involved in it, you know, basically been involved in scraps and training. And it can galvanize a team, as well as if it's taken the wrong way and it's not dealt with the right way, it can, you know, completely split a team. But that's one thing that the Belfast Giants are absolutely outstanding at, and that's keeping everything in-house. And, you know, I think it's vital as well. You know, Kiefer, we all know his passion. We all was seeing it there on the TV and on the web. Well, I seen it in the webcast, and you seen it live, Davey, you know, on Saturday night when he was basically, you know, ready to get the top off and ready to jump on the ice when Dean Smith was making those stupid bloody calls. And, you know, that's exactly what you're looking for. But Adam Keefe, as I say, he'll continue to say this for a long time, that, you know, he's a development coach, he's a new coach, he's learning all the time. And when you're with these guys 6-7 days a week, you get to know exactly who needs the arm around the shoulder and whoever needs a kick in the hole. So it's hockey has been a long, long time that the hockey teams are good at keeping their own counsel.
Well, how would you react if your name was called out, Sis?
It depends. The first time, I was probably only about 21, and the coach at the time, I'm not naming who it was, but the coach at the time basically did what Tripp did, called me out, said that I wasn't performing the way I should do, and I didn't take it very well, but I took a bit of a sulk over it for the rest of the game. That was the end of the first period from memory.
Did you ever drink in his bar?
Oh, that was the second one, Davey. Oh, come on, man. But the first time, again, I didn't take it very well because it was just a bit of a pain in the hole. The second time was that guy with the bar, Jim. He basically benched me because it was away on holiday over Christmas. Come back when he just came into the job and wouldn't play me because I didn't go to train the Thursday night. I only arrived back from holiday on the Friday. It was a game on the Saturday, and he didn't play me in the first period. And I went out and scored a hat-trick because at the end of the first period, we were getting beat 3-0 by Murrayfield. Went out and scored a hat-trick in the second period. And then me being a pompous sort of guy that I was at the time and very confident, skated past him at the end of the second period and said, "Don't ever bench me again." And get on with it. So it's different.
It worked.
People reacted. It what?
It worked.
Well, we wanted to win the game. We won 6-5, yeah. So, now, again, it's for me, I'm all for coaches. If guys need to be called out, and they're not doing with their own. I mean, this guy, I don't know the guy Tripp. I've no idea what sort of coach he is. But, you know, coming out and saying that this early in his Brayhead days, some guys need that. Some guys just need to be called. You know what? See if you're not going to perform. There's thousands of hockey players who will want to come in and get a job. So, you know, sometimes you need to be a good kick in the backside. Doesn't do any harm.
This is Adam Keefe, and you're listening to the best podcast in the Elite League, A View from the Bridge.
The Belfast Giants return to Challenge Cup action on Saturday night. They've only got one opponent left in their group stage of the Challenge Cup, and that is the Fife Flyers. Fife's at top of the group, having already qualified for the next round. However, don't let that fool you. In the last 7 games, they scored 34 goals. We're joined now by the head coach of the Fife Flyers, Todd Dudium. And Todd, 34 goals in 7 games shows that you've got some real offensive ability.
Yeah, and it's something that we've been pleasantly surprised with our guys. We had guys possibly in North America that found themselves in shutdown roles or defensive roles, and they're given a little bit more freedom here, and they've really embraced it. You know, we know that we have an awfully young team, and we have a little bit of maturing to do, but they're enjoying their hockey right now, and we've seen some pretty decent results.
Looking at your roster, you've brought in some names that you've brought back some names that we already know, like Finucci, Shane Stockton, and the likes, but you've also got a lot of brand new names in there, a new sort of dynamic to the team. When you went into the market in the summer, what were you looking for?
Well, I think, you know, it was important that you learn off lessons from previous seasons. And, you know, although we had a ton of potential on our squad last year, we really ran into injury problem. In fact, there wasn't a game that we had a completely full lineup last year. It was really frustrating. But with, you know, older bodies come injuries, and we don't have the luxury of carrying spare guys, and I rely on my imports heavily. So, you know, that hurt us. You know, it was very difficult to stretch 4-point weekends together, and you're never going to climb the standings if you don't. So we wanted to kind of change a few things around. We definitely targeted younger guys, and, you know, so far it's paid off. But, like I said, I mean, I think that, you know, for example, our game on Sunday night, and there's nothing against Digger and you know, Guilford. It's just I really feel that we let that opportunity slip by us. It was two pretty evenly matched teams, but costly errors, and we ended up losing the 2 points. So, you know, we use that as a learning point, and we're very well aware of what we're up against this weekend, and the guys are excited about it.
We can't talk to you about Sunday without looking at Saturday's game over in Renfrew when you went in and took a 7-1 win over by your most hated rivals in the Brayhead clan. How satisfying was that to you in front of a sold-out bar, not only to score those seven, but to keep them to only one and show defensive ability as well?
No, absolutely. And for us, arguably our biggest rivals over the last couple seasons, and, you know, to lay down an early marker like that is great. But, you know, I've certainly warned these guys that we aren't going to have it our way every time we play these guys, and we have to be prepared for them to throw it right back at us this weekend.
Obviously, this year there's a change in the conference system. You're left with the four Scottish teams, I guess, in the Gardiner Conference. Does that have a real change in dynamic to the league?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course there is. With two expansion clubs who have really come in and really raised some eyebrows early on, you know, there is a different way that you play these things. You know, Manchester obviously needed to get into a conference that was much closer to home for them. I think that there was financial implications on that, and, you know, it certainly helps our travel. But, you know, you and I were discussing before we began taping that, you know, we've certainly seen some results that you wouldn't expect all around the league near enough every weekend, and it appears to be you know, not only a very competitive league, but one that can certainly bust open offensively at any given time. And all the teams have proven they can do it. So, you know, I love playing in a league where there are no foregone conclusions. And, you know, I hope that stays that way through the course of the season.
You mentioned earlier on about having the youngest squad, but in these last few days, you and Jeff have moved to bring in Jim Jorgensen, former Clan, former Steeler, former Coventry Blaze, a guy who knows exactly how this league is played. What are you expecting from him, bringing him into the lineup?
Yeah, Jim comes with a wealth of experience of playing and winning in this country. And, you know, I don't think that it's a bad thing at all to sprinkle some that experience and age into this group. You know, I'm pleasantly surprised with our dressing room this year. You know, they're very self-regulatory, if you can call it that. Like, they really demand it out of themselves and each other. And, you know, it's really refreshing for me. These guys are young and ambitious and want to leave their mark, and, a fun group to work with. But, you know, bringing Jim in, you know, he's a steady head back there. It bolsters our defense ranks. We were always short right from the start of the season. It gives us extra a guy back there to, you know, whenever we need to cut down and big parts of the game. And, you know, so far it's working really good for us.
As we've mentioned, back to Challenge Cup action this weekend and the Belfast Giants. But you guys, you've already qualified for the quarterfinals. So when you look at this and you're with an eye, do you have an eye on Sunday? Or is it a case of every game is every game is every game?
No, definitely. We do not want to get in the habit where we start looking past teams and past games. I think to have a winning team, you need to really gear up on a nightly basis. And this gives us a look at this tough middle conference, if you will. And you know, we're gonna have Belfast six times this year, or five times. I think the second Challenge Cup game is a league game as well. So I think it's important that we go in there and we size ourselves up against Belfast. Kiefer's going to have them playing his brand of hockey, which is tough and hard-nosed. And, you know, always a tough journey day for us and a very tough building to come into. So I'm very interested to see how my guys handle it. And we definitely want to come in and, you know, put down a benchmark for how we're going to compete against you guys for the season.
Well, Saturday's Challenge Cup game is at the SSE Arena at 7 p.m. If you can't get down there, of course, you can join Simon and Alex on Belfast Giants TV. Todd Dudium, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Patty.
Hi there, this is Kevin Rain, number 22 of the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to A View from the Bridge.
Thanks again to Todd. We also have a game, obviously, on Sunday night against the Nottingham Panthers in Nottingham. And this sort of new setup to our previews, we were hoping to bring you an interview with one of the Nottingham Panthers. We did contact them, but they had something on in the last couple of days, which means that they're on a travel day today. So unfortunately, we're unable to bring you an interview with them. However, as a bit of a preview to the weekend, our very own Mr. Kitchen was able to catch up with Jeff Mason earlier today.
Jeff, you've come back in the lineup this year after the Giants picked up a few injuries. How have you settled in over the last couple of weekends?
I think it's been all right. It was, you know, having not played a game in a long time and being a little bit out of game shape to get in. It was, you know, three games in 5 days or whatever to start was tough. But I think, you know, slowly settling in and getting, you know, a bit more comfortable out there and obviously getting, you know, my legs and lungs back underneath me.
And those legs and lungs, they're certainly not in their 20s anymore. But obviously, you know, you're spending a lot of time on the ice at the minute with the team being a lot of short bodies as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly it's been tough for everyone being so short to pick up the slack. And I think that certainly showed on the game on Sunday. But yeah, I'm certainly not as young as I once was. So it's just a matter of trying to be a lot you know, a lot smarter out there and just being safe and trying not to get, you know, in too many difficult situations out there.
Heading into the weekend just past, you know, I think if you'd offered most Giants fans 2 points over the weekend, you know, you basically definitely would have took the 2 points anyway. But those two games against Cardiff and Coventry, two completely different performances, and a massive, massive performance coming out on Saturday night against Cardiff.
It really was, and especially the way the game unfolded and losing Riles and lots of penalties and being so short. And, you know, Garside was taking some shifts on forward. I ended up taking a shift on forward. It was really a total team effort, and guys really, you know, pulled together. And it took so much out of us on the Saturday night that you know, it really showed on the Sunday, and unfortunately, we just couldn't find a way to, you know, put in a better performance on the Sunday. But the Saturday night was certainly a huge step in the right direction.
And then heading into this weekend, you're getting Jonathan Furlan back in the lineup, and we're waiting for news coming in on the injuries that we have currently as well. Fife in the Challenge Cup, and then Nottingham away in the league game. It's going to be another two tough games.
It certainly is. I mean, the Fife game, you got to win it if you want to, if we want to continue on in the Challenge Cup. And then, you know, Nottingham's showed that, you know, they're a top level team, and especially what they've done in the Champions League. And, we had a really good battle with them when we went in there, you know, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago now. So, that certainly won't be an easy game either. So it's definitely a tough weekend coming up.
Jeff, thanks very much for your time.
No problem.
Thanks again to Jeff and to Todd. Those games at the weekend, Saturday versus Fife, is at the SSE Arena in the Challenge Cup, 7 p.m. Get yourself down there. And of course, if you can't get down there, as I said, you can catch it on Belfast Giants TV. Sunday, we're over in Nottingham at the NIC to take on the Panthers in Elite League and Conference game. That game is at 4 p.m. As always, there is no webcast, but I'll keep you up to date at AVFTB, or we'll point you certainly in the right direction of some of the updates. One more interview to do before we move on to the fan agenda. It is 6 weeks before the latest edition of the Friendship 4. So things are starting to build up to what has become a real fixture in the Belfast Giants and the SSE calendar. Once again, we will turn to our man with the interviews, Mr. Simon Kitchen, who caught up with Shane Johnson.
Shane, you've got 6 weeks now, working all year to get ready for the Northern Ireland Connections Friendship Four, and it kicks into Northern Ireland in 6 weeks' time. The year must have flown in for you since the hugely successful event last year and the year before.
Yeah, absolutely. It's come on fast. We were just talking around the office and reminding ourselves that it's only 6 weeks until the tournament and until the guys get here.
And this year we have RPI, Clarkson, Providence and Maine, and you know, four fantastic sporting history with regards to championships and you know, obviously the academic side of things as well. And these kids coming in just don't come in for the hockey. They're coming in for a lot of our different events throughout their week as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the things we try and get across to people when we're talking about the Friendship Four, that this isn't just four different college teams coming over and then leaving. You know, there's a lot more to it. Yes, the teams are coming over, and it's going to be great hockey. We have the 2015 National Championship winning Providence Friars coming across, an alumni of our own Jeff Mason from the Belfast Giants. We have University of Maine, Colin Shields, an alumni from that university. And then with Clarkson, Matt Nickerson, who Giants fans will know well. He went to Clarkson University. And within the league, there's a few players that are coming through RPI, one being Andrew Lord, the coach of the Cardiff Devils. So there is a history between those teams and the Elite League, having players played in both. So the tournament itself, I mean, as you mentioned, they're coming over here for a week. This is a real cultural experience, not just for the players themselves, but for the university. So they're encouraging all their alumni, friends, family to come over here and spend their Thanksgiving in Belfast, which is a, you know, really special holiday in America. So for them to make the decision to come here and spend their holidays, you know, it's a tremendous honor for Belfast. And it just shows you how far Belfast has come as a city and how far the tournament has come in 3 years.
I'm hearing rumors that there's going to be a band arriving into Northern Ireland as well with the one of the universities this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, each year we just find that there's something different that the universities can offer. And this year, Clarkson University are bringing a 40-plus strong group of their band members, all playing horns and tubas and whatever else during the game. And they're excited to come over here and just make the tournament as fun as possible, really.
That'll keep Davey McChimsey happy. He loves a good band. obviously, the 6 weeks to go, you know, obviously the hard work's kicking in now. How's preparations going for yourselves?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, it's all the finishing touches. You know, this is more than just a tournament where we play some games. You know, the expectations of these teams is very high. They treat these as very professional games. We're working on getting the TVs, the games televised live in America and Canada. That's one of the things we're working on. We're working on making sure the event itself looks great, that the arena looks great from the teams get here. There's a lot of activities that the teams are planning while they're here, that they're visiting different schools around Belfast, getting in to meet the kids and really immerse themselves in the whole experience of coming to another country. They're arranging a Thanksgiving dinner, which will include over 500 Americans and Canadians and people from all around the world that are spending their Thanksgiving here. So there's a lot of other events going on around the tournament.
Tickets are available at the Odyssey box office.
Tickets are available at the Odyssey box office. Yes, that's right. And get them now.
Shane, thanks very much indeed. And we really look forward to the event in the last weekend of November.
Fantastic, Simon. We'll see you there.
Take 22. This is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listening to... Oh,
Take 26, this is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listen to A View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite League.
Last part of the show, and of course it's the Fan Agenda in association with our friends at Belfast Giants TV. And this week, we're delighted to be joined by a man who's not only been in the starting six in the last few weeks, but also was awarded both Man of the Match awards. You may know him as Diego. We know him as Matt Toe. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you.
We'll definitely be talking about that Diego thing in a minute. Well, what we will start with is the fact that, you know, two man of the match awards at the weekend. Obviously, one great result against the Cardiff Devils and one horrendous result against the Coventry Blaze. But you're playing pretty well at the minute. What's your take?
Yeah, it seems we're going well so far. just we're short on bodies, so just getting a bit more ice time. And like I've said before, it's an opportunity for me to show the coach that I can be thrown into every situation. So although the team's suffering injury wise, the extra ice time I feel is helping me.
When you've got, you know, when you're short on bodies like that, and you go into the Ice Arena Wales against one of your former teams in the Cardiff Devils, how satisfying is it to come from a 3-1 deficit and take that win?
Oh, it's huge. They're obviously the reigning league champions, so to come back on any night from a 2-goal deficit to take the win is massive, and then to do it against a team of Cardiff's calibre, you see how they've done in the CHL. It was a big night, and each show man that night, we were short on bodies again. We were up against it with penalties also, so it made it that little bit sweeter.
You had obviously the both games punctuated by goals in the opening 60 seconds. It's just, is that a lapse of concentration? Is that not getting into the game quick enough?
You'd have to say so, yeah. Obviously, it's a 60-minute game, and we don't like to give anyone a head start, but we did it both games. So to bring it back Saturday was great, but then to do it again on Sunday was obviously disappointing. I know on the Saturday game, I think the second goal was a 5-on-3 that was pretty weak call, but, you know, and I think it might have been offside as well, the goal, but at the end of the day, they put the puck in the net, so we're playing catch-up. And then, as you say, on Sunday, with having so many short bodies, we kind of don't want to say we were tired from the night before, but it definitely didn't help. And when you're chasing a game, I think we got it back to 3-1, and then with around 10 minutes to go in the third, you're always chasing. You know, you've got to go for that offense. We started to leak some and ended up 6-1.
Toy, it's Kitchy here. You've over 400 games in the Elite League now, and you know, you're one of the most experienced guys that we have in the dressing room. With the younger guys coming on board, and you still look like a baby-faced assassin once in a while, you know, are you basically looked upon as showing that leadership and being within that leadership group? Do you think you are that type of guy now?
I've always been a vocal guy, even when I was one of the younger guys in the room. You know, I like to get involved, kind of thing. But we've got so many leaders on our team, and you look at throughout the lineup where guys have played, they've all won the assistants, so they've all been captains on their teams. So it's kind of a case of that we've all got leadership group. And personally, you know, I'm a fun guy, easy going, try to keep it light in the dressing room, but then when it is game time, I'd like to think I'm a fierce competitor, and hopefully that can be rubbed off on my teammates.
And just talking about the fierce competitor side of coming out of you, we've taken a lot of abusive official calls so far this season. Do those guys know? I'm sorry, but like Spiro Galakos, you've had Sebastian, and I think there's somebody else. Just can't remember who it was. This weekend was the first we haven't done that with regards to a major penalty. But have they realised now that the standard of officiate, and I don't want to put you, if you don't think you want to answer this, just let us know, because we can have a go at the referees, you know, we understand you're sort of limited to what you can say, but do you think that they actually understand the way the officials are now, and they're maybe not as lenient as what they would be in North America?
Yeah, it looks like that, to be fair. Adam, the coach, has put an emphasis on it's going to be different to what they used to, and like you say, it's all the new guys coming into the league, and there is that period of time where you need to settle in the style of hockey, the refereeing, and every player that we've recruited is a guy that gives it every night, and you know we're going to play on the edge. And unfortunately, some of those nights we've kind of gone over the edge, and that's when we have got the 10 minutes. And but like you said, this weekend was a much improved showing from the guys, so that hopefully they are learning. And it is a big emphasis that Kiefer has said, because at the end of the day, 5-on-5, I don't think any team in the league will match us. But if we give them the opportunities and every night they're getting more power plays, and as it just makes our job that little bit harder.
Toy, it's Davey here. We've got a few questions in here from listeners, and I suppose running through your stats and stuff here, and obviously you've been penalty killing the majority of the time. Your special teams has been penalty kill, but seeing your stats here, you're averaging a power play goal every 139 games for the Giants now. So that's we've got a question in from Stevie Thompson about it just says, Matt, you've been on front and centre and excellent special teams this season. What makes a good power play and penalty kill unit?
Well, like the power play, usually it's your skilled guys, but whether they're the most skilled or not, they've got to outwork the four guys on the penalty kill on the opposing team. You know, if you go out there and don't give your all, then you're not going to score. And we do put a lot of practice on it. You know, everyone has to be on the same page. And I know last year we did really well penalty kill wise, and it took a little bit of time for us to all buy in, and we've continued to do that this year. And it's I'd say the majority is down to work rate and the power play as well, getting dirty. I know you've got the extra guy, but getting the pucks in the net, getting hacked and whacked by the defenseman and getting a tip on it, and that's what's going to be the difference at the end of the night.
We've another one on here on Twitter, Matt, from Stevie at JanSteve83. He says, I think it goes back to what Sizz was saying about the baby faced assassin. You don't age, what's your secret? What do you put in your all star fry? But being serious, how does this team compare to the previous Belfast teams you've been part of?
Well, this summer I had a great summer working with Shed, so I'd like to put that down to to him. And he had me on a strict diet, no Ulster fries. But as for previous teams, I think we're very offensive, and we've got guys that can do a little bit of everything, not just put up numbers. They're going to make hits, block shots, and I like the style that Adam's put together. And early on, if teams were scoring five and we'd be scoring six, obviously it's good, but now we know, like playing against the Sheffield team, the double header there, that we can play unbelievably defensively. And on any given night, I think our team will create offense. And if we can take care of business at our end of the ice at the defensive zone, then I think we'll get the 2 points.
Sorry, Sizz. Just back on something you said there about working out with Sheds at TPF there over the summer. How important is it, getting more important, the off-ice condition? Is that something that athletes now are concentrating a whole lot on? You know, like Sheds is, some could argue, has improved his game over the last number of years. If someone who's leading nearly every, possible stat in Belfast Giants history is led by Sheds, and he is still putting that improvement in his game, working on his mobilisation, working on his strength, his core strength, working on starting and stopping, all those things. How important is that? Not just the summer conditioning to come in good shape. You know, we've had players here that came and had great seasons and came back and took a summer off and weren't the same players. How important is that, putting that hard work in over the summer and then keeping and maintaining it over the course of the season?
It's massive. It is. I think it gets more so important every year. And you look at Sheds, he gets better with age, and I've played against him for probably 11 years now. And I know he was always focused on his training, but each year and every time we're on the road, he's always reading a different book or looking at a different article from, sports scientists and trainers around the world, and just to improve himself and his gym. But as for the sport in general, I think it's becoming more of a young man's sport these days, and the older guys that are still doing it are the ones that do put in the hours in the gym, and it is a full-time job. You know, there's a saying, you can't win the league in July, but you can lose it, if guys aren't training out. But fortunately for our team, everyone seems to have come in great shape, and even in pre-season then, Kiefer pushed us, and he still is pushing us, because conditioning is huge at the end of the day.
Toei, just there's a question in here from somebody called Claire Toe at CToei55, and it's, hi Toei, big fan, but when are you going to start putting the bins out on a Monday?
Oh, I'll have to have a word with this CTO. She stops shouting at me, then I'll start putting the bins out.
In the last at the weekend, as well as the performance against it, you've had a bit of a, you got a tweet, you have a bit of a catfish thing going on in this thing with Diego. What's that all about? Is this real, or is this you with another identity?
This is definitely not me with another identity. Otherwise, CTO55 would definitely be shouting at me, and I think I'd be in the bins. But this is the second time it's actually happened. But really? The guy, whoever it is, he managed to pick out the best pictures I've got on Twitter there. So I don't think he'll have had much luck on Tinder with those pictures, and the name Diego as well. He sounds exotic, and with my tanner, it definitely isn't me.
One of the obviously announced earlier today the arrival of Matt Bissonnette with the amount of injuries and the short bench. How welcome is it to have another body in?
Oh, it's huge. And a player like Matt as well. Last year, we had some tough games against Manchester, and I thought Matt Bissonnette was their best player. You know, he's a big body. He's creative with the puck. He's a skilled guy, but he's not afraid to get in the corners. And I think for now, you know, we're, the extra bodies is great, but then to bring in a player of his quality is fantastic for us. And I'm sure all of us can't wait to get him in.
Toy, it was announced, I know that Shed's put it out on his Twitter today about the Question of Hockey this Monday night at the Odyssey Cinemas. And you've been named in as Team UK, along with Mark Garside, Colin Shields, and O'Keefe, Coach O'Keefe, which is Team UK. I think he's trying to put Team UK on Northern Ireland there. But you're playing against Team Canada, Blair Riley, John Kurtz, Jim Vandermeer, and Rand Martinelli. Have you been swapping up on your general knowledge for hockey and for just general knowledge for sports?
Yeah, I've been watching as many quiz shows as possible to get ready for this one, and I think Team GB and Ireland are gonna make it an easy night.
You're reading the wrong quiz book, mate. I've got all the questions here.
I'm sure there's some good ones then.
Regards to Sheds and his testimonial, it's a great thing for him. What sort of guy are you? What are your thoughts on Sheds and what he brings to the side?
Well, like I've said before, he just gets better with age. He's got an incredible shot, and his work rate. You know, put him on the power play, you put him on the penalty kill, you put him on the 5-on-3, and he's getting shot lanes. He just plays every role on the team, and like he's late 30s now, and there's no sign of him slowing up. He started off great again. He's putting the puck in the net, and him and Saviano and whoever else he plays with seem to have chemistry. And he's been a leader at Belfast for a long time, and he still is in the team, and he's a really good friend now as well since I came over to Belfast. And it's someone that you look up to, and you see what he's doing, and you try to do it yourself, and he brings out the best in his teammates.
Well, we've had some fantastic input from you guys on Twitter, some great questions at AVFTB, and we'll wrap up the fan agenda there. Matt, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, gents.
Thanks again to Matt. Any other business, gentlemen?
Paddy, yeah, I just want to mention there about Colin Shields' testimonial, Question of Hockey /Sport on Monday night. Odyssey Cinema, 7 o'clock. You can get in contact with the guys on his Facebook or Twitter page for regarding tickets. And I think there may be a few spaces left to come in on the Monday night, but you're better off getting your ticket beforehand and making sure you get a seat. So should be good fun. It's got Team Canada versus Team UK, Jim Vandermeer, Rand Martinelli, John Kurtz, and somebody else. No, Blair Riley. Blair Riley for Team Canada up against Team UK /Northern Ireland, which will be Colin Shields, Mark Garside, Matt Toe, and Coach Keefe is...
O'Keefe.
O'Keefe. He's coming in to add to the UK team. So it should be good fun. It'll be interesting to see. We've got to thank Joel Neal and David McGimsey for putting questions together for the quiz. And Neil Whiteside, who's done a few of the videos and stuff like that. You know, some of the stuff he comes up with is absolutely brilliant. So all great thanks to them, and obviously Johnny Cook and the crew behind the testimonial crew as well.
Davey did send a few questions through just to test us and test me, and I have to say there's some belters in there, Davey.
It's good fun. It's always good to get your old stat sheet out and get some old books out, get some old programs out, and remind yourself why this club means so much to you. You know, I was saying to you, Paddy, last night, some of the questions you're coming up with there are jogging memories of seminal moments and great games that have happened in the past, and you know why they might have happened in the past. They're still very much present in your memory of this great club, and some of the players that you think have played, and some that you might have forgotten about. When I've been looking down the list of, I'll not give one of the answers away, but the number of players that have turned out for this club, and some of the names of and what they've done for this club, fantastic. But aside of that, getting sidelined there, Paddy, I'm going trip down memory lane. I just have to give we didn't give him a shout out last week. The big man, Robert, he's starting to feel a wee bit better. Hopefully, was lucky enough there. Where did we go for breakfast? What did you call it, Simon?
Diddy's.
Diddy's. We went to a place, he says, we'll go to, where, Macrofelt, was it, Simon?
It was Mackie. We went up to pick him up in Macrofelt, and he says, you're like, I'm going to take you into Diddy's here.
Me and Simon were rubbing our hands, but it wasn't that kind of Diddy. It wasn't that kind of Diddy bar. It was very much an Ulster Fry and a glass of pure orange juice, but it was really good to see him out of the house again. He's obviously still in a world of pain, but he's getting a whole lot better. So we'll give our Wednesday morning shout out to him. I know that he's got nothing better to do, so he'd be sitting listening to this.
No, he's back at work, Davey. He's back at work.
He'll do a standard clear my diary. I need to listen to the podcast before I do anything. checking up on us, but good to see you back at work again, Robert.
Absolutely, that always feel a lot better. It gets better, you know, no man more determined to get back on the horse than that fella. Right, and on that note, we'll wrap things up. Thanks to Matt Bissonette, Todd Dudium, Jeff Mason, Shane Johnson, and Matt Toe on the TFA. Two games this weekend. At home to the Fife Flyers in the Cup and away to the Panthers in the league. All details through our Twitter, of course, at AVFTB. Thanks to you guys for your interaction on Twitter, the TFAs and everything else. Remember, you can also get us on SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And on Facebook as well, just search for A View from the Bridge. Thanks as always to Mr. Majemsey and Mr. Kitchen.
Night-night. Cheers, guys.
I'm not about next week, so I'm going to be leaving the chair in the very capable hands of Mr. Hitchcock. Look after him, boys. And thanks to everybody for listening in. We really appreciate it. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.